Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 17th, 2020. Coming up this hour.
President Trump clashes with top officials on the timing for a coronavirus vaccine.
Global stocks drop after the Fed highlights uncertainty about the economic rebound.
And more details emerge on the potential tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
After announcing staff furloughs, New York Mayor de Blasio says a citywide furlough is on the table in union talks, plus the damage from Hurricane Sally. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another offensive explosion for the red-hot Yankees. A comeback win for the Mets in the U.S. Open Golf begins today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by SEI. Today's competitive marketplace requires asset managers to become more operationally adept. See how you can transform your business with SEI's global platform at seic.com/IMS.
Global stocks are falling after the latest policy decision from the Fed. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 36 points, Dow futures down 241, Nasdaq futures down 134. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. The FTSE 100 down about the same. The CAC in Paris down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 0.68%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.6% at $39.93 a barrel. John.
And Karen, more on the markets in just a minute. But first, we're hearing conflicting messages out of the Washington on the timeline for a coronavirus vaccine. For the very latest, we bring in Amy Morris from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield tells a Senate hearing that a vaccine could be available by next spring or summer.
If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
That contradicts President Trump's claims of a vaccine by October or early November. The president says Dr. Redfield may be confused.
I believe that if you ask him, he would probably say that he didn't understand the question.
Meanwhile, in an interview with Bloomberg, Dr. Anthony Fauci at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases says a vaccine might exist by the end of this year.
By the end of 2020, namely November or December, I feel reasonably confident that there will be one or more vaccines that will be begun to be made available to the American public.
But he says it likely won't be widely available until the end of next year. Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Meantime, President Trump is weighing in on the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
It has to be 100% as far as national security is concerned. And no, I'm not prepared to sign off on anything. I have to see the deal. We need security, especially after what we've seen with respect to China and what's going on. We want security. So I'll let you know. They're going to be reporting to me tomorrow morning, and I will let you know.
Now we have new details on the proposed partnership between Oracle and TikTok. Sources tell us Oracle would gain full access to TikTok's source code to make sure there are no back doors to gather data on American users. TikTok would also hire an independent board approved by the U.S. government.
It was quite a Wall Street debut for Snowflake. Shares of the software company more than doubled, giving it a market value above $70 billion. We spoke with CEO Frank Slootman.
The IPO is a price discovery process, and we were after a very specific set of institutional investors, people that can hold multi-billion-dollar positions that are willing to hold down for, you know, 5 to 10 years, and also people that don't chase momentum either up or down.
With yesterday's surge, Snowflake is now more valuable than Dell, General Motors, and Uber.
For many banks, the push to get workers back in the office is gathering steam, but Deutsche Bank is bucking that trend, telling employees they can stay home until the middle of next year. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
In a memo to staff, the bank said workers in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, quote, face the continuing balancing of your work and your children's sporadic school schedule, as well as concerns about public transportation, cleanliness, and quality of life issues amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Other Wall Street firms are seeking to bring more workers back to offices after sending most home earlier this year to help stem the spread of the coronavirus. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And turning to financial markets, we're seeing equity weakness following the Fed's latest policy decision. Some traders were hoping for signs in the central bank's approach to monthly bond purchases. That didn't happen. But Chairman Jay Powell is vowing to keep interest rates lower for longer.
Effectively, we're saying that rates will remain highly accommodative until the economy is far along in its recovery. And that should be a very powerful statement in supporting economic activity.
13 out of 17 Fed officials forecast rates on hold for 3 years. Still, stocks fell after Powell discussed uncertainty about the rebound from the pandemic.
Up next is the Bank of England's turn. Policymakers there issue a decision at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. HSBC economist Liz Martin says two main items will weigh on the bank's outlook.
The increase in COVID cases and the headlines around Brexit. And the Bank of England is assuming a smooth transition to a comprehensive trade deal. And clearly the risks around that are rising.
Well, no change in policy is expected. We'll be watching the BOE for any hints of more stimulus. The vote split and meeting minutes will be key on that front.
In Asia, the Bank of Japan left its aggressive monetary stimulus untouched. More from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Doug Krisner.
It's exactly what markets expected. The BOJ left its 10-year bond yield target unchanged at about 0%. Asset purchases were unchanged, and the policy rate was kept at a negative 10 basis points. At the same time, the BOJ raised its assessment, saying the economy has started to pick up, with activity resuming gradually. Even so, uncertainties are extremely high, given the impact of the virus. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Meantime, in China, souring ties with the U.S. is weighing on investment. Two-way investment between the U.S. and China slumped to the lowest level in almost 9 years during the first half of the year. The news comes as relations between the world's biggest two economies deteriorate and the pandemic hits sentiment. Futures again moving lower. S&P futures down 38 points this morning. Dow futures down 259. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:07 off Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio ordered 5 days of furloughs for about 500 members of his City Hall staff, including himself. De Blasio says employees can take the unpaid leave anytime during a six-month period beginning in October. The policy will affect everyone from administrative assistants to the mayor's top aides.
Throughout this crisis, they have not been working 35 or 40-hour weeks. They've been working 80-hour weeks, 90-hour weeks, 100-hour weeks because they believe in this city and they've been fighting for all of you. So it is with pain that I say they and their families will lose a week's pay.
De Blasio said he would work without pay during his time off. The mayor also said a citywide furlough is on the table in union talks. The mayor had projected a $9 billion revenue shortfall through the fiscal year ending in June of 2022 because of lockdowns ordered amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Hurricane Sally lumbered ashore near the Florida-Alabama line yesterday with 105-mile-per-hour winds and rain measured in feet, not inches, killing at least one person. The death happened in Orange Beach, Alabama. Sally swamped homes and forced the rescue of hundreds as it pushed inland for what could be a slow and disastrous drenching across the deep south. Pensacola, Florida Mayor Grover Robinson says the COVID-19 pandemic forced the city to rethink its plan for sheltering people in danger from the storm, keeping them out of crowded shelters.
The fact that it's not raining right now is great for our citizens. The challenge is much of the day, the winds were still high enough that crews really weren't able to get in here and start figuring out how to get power back up.
Sally tore loose a barge-mounted construction crane, which then smashed into a new bridge over Pensacola Bay, causing a section of the year-old span to collapse. South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, a close ally of President Trump, is in a dead heat with his Democratic opponent, Jamie Harrison, less than 50 days before the election. The Quinnipiac University poll also found Republican Senator Susan Collins is trailing well behind Democrat Sarah Gideon in Maine. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It's coming up at 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. Just how hot are the Yankees right now? 7 wins in a row in their last 2 games, 33 runs, 13 home runs, 7 more last night. 3 by Kyle Higashioka, 2 by DJ LeMahieu, Clint Frazier homered, so did Luke Voit, who leads the majors with 19, a 13-2 rout of the Blue Jays, and the Yanks are now healthy. Aaron Judge returned last night in Philadelphia. The Mets trailed 4-1, 6th inning against ex-Met Zach Wheeler, a rare subpar start for Jacob deGrom. He was gone after 2 innings with an injured hamstring. But J.D. Davis led the comeback, 2-run homer in the 6th, RBI double in the 8th. Mets scored in the 9th. They beat the Phillies 5-4. Can the Islanders do it again? They stayed alive in Game 5 in double overtime. Tonight it's Game 6 with Tampa Bay leading 3-2. The Big Ten reversed course. It announced August 11th, no college football this year, when there were protests, often led by the parents of players. The league insisted the decision would not be revisited. And then it was, and the Big Ten voted unanimously to start play October 24th of the 8-game season. Tiger Woods is up early this morning. He tees off just after 8 o'clock, a U.S. Open with no fans.
Unfortunately, this is our new reality. You know, this is something where we're getting used to. It's not something we like. We want the fans, we want the atmosphere out there, but you know, safety is first.
Tiger, 3-time Open champ, but the clear favorite is Dustin Johnson, ranked number 1, and he's been red hot of late. Johnson will play this afternoon, the 6th time that the U.S. Open is being played at the always challenging Winged Foot Course in Mamaroneck. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. John with the Burton Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures are in the red after yesterday's Fed meeting. Disappointed some with the forecast. Dow futures right now down 276 points. That's down 1% right now. S&P E-mini futures 40 points lower, down 1.2%. And the NASDAQ futures 146 points lower. That's down 1.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping along with U.S. stock index futures after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell highlighted uncertainty about the economic rebound. The dollar's steady, treasuries ticking up. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 38 points, Dow futures down 261, NASDAQ futures down 137, the DAX in Germany's down 0.6%. 10-year treasury up 4/32, yield 0.68%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 15 cents at $40.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 1% on $19.80 at $19.50.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1790 against the dollar, British pound 1.2967, and the yen's at 104.75. Today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with housing starts and building permits. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hundreds of thousands of residents across the southern coast of the U.S. are beginning to assess the damage from Hurricane Sally yesterday. Docks turned into driftwood, trees and power lines snapped like twigs. At least one person died in Alabama. Attorney General William Barr says the Black Lives Matter movement doesn't care about black lives, but instead wants to use African Americans who were killed at the hands of police as props to advance its political agenda. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won along with the Nationals and Orioles. The Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Rockies 3-1. The Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:20 on Wall Street, and we're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. President Trump is contradicting statements by some of his top health officials when it comes to a vaccine. We're joined this morning for Greg Valliere, the chief policy strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, does it really matter to voters out there behind President Trump or supporters of Joe Biden? Does it change anybody's mind when we see confusion like this?
Maybe a few voters, John, but I would say the big story yesterday, which was an extraordinary day, is that Trump waded into the virus, made it clearly political. He told Republicans in the Senate that he wanted a much bigger stimulus bill. He just got an Israeli Mideast peace deal with some Gulf countries. He even took credit for Big Ten football coming back. So you have to say that the stage, the power of the incumbency really is enormous.
Well, again, I'll revert back to that initial question. Does it really change anybody's minds? What's the implication for the election?
Maybe a little. Polls overnight from Real Clear Politics and others show, once again, this race is tightening. I think that Biden is still the very shaky front runner, but the trend here seems to be slightly in Trump's favor. We still have to wait till the first debate on September 29th. That could change a lot, but I think the polls have tightened a bit.
As far as the economy, we heard also yesterday from the Fed chief, Jerome Powell, and the forecast going forward isn't all that great, Greg.
No. In fact, yesterday's retail sales report wasn't great either. It shows maybe the economy is starting to level off after a very impressive summer. So, yeah, I think that Trump knows this, and I think that's a major reason why he's going to put tremendous heat on the Republicans to spend more on a pandemic aid bill.
And that puts them contradicting many of the Republican leaders as well in Congress.
They were flabbergasted. They don't want even $1 trillion. They want well under that. Pelosi wants $2.2 trillion. And Trump said essentially yesterday that a proposal by centrists of $1.5 trillion sounds about right. So he's thrown a life preserver to Pelosi, who was facing a lot of criticism from her troops. And he's also, I think, jump-started talks on getting a stimulus bill.
What can we expect from the debates, and what goes into the debate preparation? What do you suppose the strategy is by the two sides?
Good question, John. There's a report this morning that the White House is exasperated. They can't get Trump to sit down and go through any training. It's happened to previous presidents who usually got off to a slow start in the first debate, but Trump is, you know, he's very, very cocky. He feels he doesn't need preparation. The other big point to me is that the more the White House says Joe Biden lacks mental acuity, that he's frail, the more they lower the bar for Biden. So Biden just has to show up with a clean shirt on, and if he makes his subjects and verbs agree, people will say he's not decrepit. So I think in a way the White House is helping Biden by setting the bar so low for him.
Yeah, that's the standard by which I'm judged every morning, Greg. Hey, what the debate format, is there going to be a lot? Are there going to be people shouting for their candidate? Is going to be just a void, like football, of any fans in the stands?
Yeah, people will have to socially distance, so it might be a more subdued crowd than we're used to in these debates. But, yeah, I think that everyone will be focusing carefully on Biden, whether he makes gaffes. He's not particularly skilled at this. But I think that there may be expectations that are too high for Trump in the first debate.
Hey, some down-ballot candidates, Lindsey Graham, South
yeah.
Carolina, and up in Maine, Susan Collins. Is that a surprise that they are looking at possible defeat?
Yeah, I think Susan Collins is now clearly trailing in Maine. That keeps alive the narrative that the Democrats can recapture the Senate. Also, to my shock, Lindsey Graham is basically tied in South Carolina. I still think he'll win, but that shows how much trouble the Republicans are in several races. So, again, the possibility of the blue wave, a Democrat in the White House, a Democratic Senate, that prospect is still alive.
What has changed all that?
I think the two issues that I think will dominate would be if Trump and the Republicans do well, it's because of the economy. If they do poorly, it's because of the virus. And I do feel that a large majority of Americans feel that Trump and the Republicans have not handled the virus well.
All right, Greg, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Greg Valliere, the chief policy strategist at AGF Investments with us this morning. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, we are in the red this morning for futures. The Dow futures down 249 points. S&P futures right now 35 points lower. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, they are down 113 points. That is a 1% decline this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Yeah, the Bloomberg 1130 forecast for the city. Becoming partly to mostly cloudy today, high 75 to 80. Tomorrow's outlook, partly sunny, breezy, cooler, high 65 to 70. You're listening to Daybreak.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're seeing global stocks fall after Jerome Powell highlighted uncertainty about the economic rebound. At the same time, the Fed chairman said policy will remain accommodative.
Effectively, we're saying that rates will remain highly accommodative until the economy is far along in its recovery. And that should be a very powerful statement in supporting economic activity.
13 out of 17 Fed officials see rates on hold for the next 3 years.
In Europe, the Bank of England makes a policy decision in about 90 minutes, while the Bank of Japan kept its asset purchases and bond yield unchanged.
We have several developments in the race for a vaccine. First, we're hearing President Trump once again promise a vaccine in a matter of weeks.
We're on track to deliver and distribute the vaccine in a very, very safe and effective manner. We think we can start sometime in October. So as soon as it is announced, we'll be able to start. That'll be from mid-October on.
That message, however, contradicts comments by Robert Redfield, director of the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
If you're asking me when is it going to be generally available to the American public so we can begin to take advantage of vaccine to get back to our regular life, I think we're probably looking at late second quarter, third quarter, 2021.
President Trump says he called Redfield after his testimony to say his comments were incorrect.
Meantime, President Trump weighing in on the proposed tie-up between Oracle and TikTok.
Has to be 100% as far as national security is concerned. And no, I'm not prepared to sign off on anything. I have to see the deal.
Now we have new details on the proposed partnership. Sources tell us that Oracle would gain full access to TikTok's source code to make sure there are no back doors to gather data on American users. TikTok would also hire an independent board approved by the U.S. government.
Meantime, on Wall Street, the push for bankers to get back in the office is gathering steam, but Deutsche Bank is bucking that trend, telling employees they can stay home for another 9 months. The bank says staff in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut can keep working at home until July, when the company plans to leave its current offices for new headquarters in Manhattan's Columbus Circle. Futures this morning lower. S&P futures down 38 points. Dow futures down 270. NASDAQ futures down 124. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. The yield 0.68% and the yield on the 2-year 0.13%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 26 cents at $39.90 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio had some tough news for about 500 members of his city hall staff.
As of October 1st, every mayor's office employee will be taking a furlough. And that obviously includes myself.
The move would cut the mayor's office expenses by $1 million out of a budget of more than $88 billion. The mayor had projected a $9 billion revenue shortfall through the fiscal year ending in June of 2022. De Blasio said he may lay off 22,000 employees if the city does not get federal fiscal aid or state authority to borrow $5 billion for operating expenses. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says that YouTube stars who rented out the Jersey Shore house Monday should be taken to task after an estimated 1,000 people showed up, many flouting COVID-19 social distancing rules. Rivers swollen by Hurricane Sally's rains could mean more problems for parts of South Alabama and the Florida Panhandle. Sally had diminished to a tropical depression, but it was still a rainmaker as it moved into Georgia on a path to the Carolinas. In Pensacola, Florida, Mayor Grover Robinson urged residents to stay off the roads.
One of the biggest problems that our police department had today was getting cars that would drive into running water and get stuck. So it wasn't people who were trying to evacuate during the middle of the storm. It was people, sightseers, who wanted to get out after the storm.
As wildfires continue in California, some progress is being made. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Progress in the northern part of the state, but still out-of-control fires in the south. And the governor says it has been an awful year.
3.37 million acres have burned so far in this calendar year. Last year, in the entire calendar year, just 277,000 acres.
And Newsom hit on climate change as a major contributor, saying there's been a steady increase in mean temperature over the past four decades. As well now, an investigation into Southern California Edison and whether a downed power line played a part in the major fires there. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Attorney General William Barr is taking aim at his own Justice Department, criticizing prosecutors for behaving as headhunters in their pursuit of prominent targets and politically charged cases. Barr spoke at Hillsdale College in Michigan. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:36 on Wall Street. Time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. The baseball postseason begins in just a couple of weeks. Yankees look ready. They are healthy. First, Giancarlo Stanton returned to the lineup, and now Aaron Judge. They've won seven in a row. The night after scoring 20 runs, they came back with 13. Blue Jays scored two. Kyle Higashioka, who had hit seven Major League home runs, hit three last night, and you have to wonder if he won't supplant Gary Sanchez as the starting catcher. Sanchez is batting 134. DJ LeMahieu was batting 373. He had two more home runs last night, an easy win for Garrett Cole. The Mets ace, Jacob deGrom, with his worst start of the year, probably due to an injured hamstring that forced him out after two innings. The Mets came from 4-1 down. They beat the Phillies 5-4. The Dodgers are 35-15. They've already clinched a playoff berth for the eighth year in a row. Islanders and Lightning game six tonight. Tampa Bay leads the series 3-2. Jets owner Christopher Johnson says coach Adam Gase has a brilliant offensive mind, and Gase has his full confidence. The Jets Sunday host the 49ers. It's the sixth time the U.S. Open has been held at Wingfoot in Mamaroneck, starting with a Bobby Jones victory in 1929. In three of the last four Opens there, the winning score has been over par. World number one Dustin Johnson recently won a tournament with a score of 30 under par. He knows that won't happen this weekend.
I haven't played in a tournament yet, but so far it seems very, very hard. And, you know, one of the harder ones I've ever played. So, but, you know, it's fair. You know, there's nothing real tricky about it. You just got to hit good shots.
Johnson plays his opening round this afternoon. Tiger Woods tees off at 8 o'clock this morning. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. And it's time for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
One of Manhattan's most prolific condo developers is facing potential foreclosure on four properties after years of slow sales and a lender finally fed up waiting for returns. A $90 million slice of junior mezzanine debt tied to projects by HFZ Capital Group is going to be sold at a public auction on November 12th. Manufacturing in New York State expanded in September at the second fastest rate since 2018, dwarfing expectations on firmer shipments and orders. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York's General Business Conditions Index increased to 17, up from 3.7 a month earlier. Bank of America will serve as senior managing underwriter on New Jersey's anticipated $4 billion general obligation bond sale. Proceeds will cover the state's budget shortfall as revenue collections have fallen during the coronavirus pandemic. A total of 21 firms submitted proposals for the position. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on COGO in San Diego, I'm reporting shares of San Diego-based Metacrin fell in their first day of trading.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Gasoline demand has stalled out with the end of driving season.
I'm Caroline Hepcorn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio here in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's apparent concessions to his own MPs, angry about his changes to the Brexit divorce deal.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the world's top electric car battery business is moving toward an IPO.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Coming up today, we get the latest reading on weekly jobless claims. Economists predict they drifted lower, with workers filing 850,000 claims. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
Jobless claims will get a lot of attention because last week was the September employment survey week. Claims the past 2 weeks have suggested the labor market has slowed, if not stalled. The numbers may be influenced by wildfires in the West, a move to virtual schooling in many parts of the country, and the short-term impact of an additional $300 a month supplementary jobless benefit in some states. On the other hand, more analysts are suggesting the claims data is distorted by antiquated state filing systems and outright fraud. So the actual level of claims may not matter as much as the direction and magnitude of any change. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Mike. And ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, the futures in the red. S&P futures down 1%, 36 points lower. The Dow futures down 9/10, down 260 points. NASDAQ futures right now 1% lower. They're down 115 points. You're listening to Daybreak. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit burdenllp.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are dropping this morning along with U.S. stock index futures after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell highlighted uncertainty about the economic rebound. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 34 points, Dow futures down 251, NASDAQ futures down 96. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 0.68%, yield on the 2-year 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.4% or 16 cents at $40 a barrel. COMEX gold down 1.2% or $23.80 at $1946.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1793 against the dollar. British pound 1.2970 and the yen 104.75. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, at least one person is dead after Hurricane Sally made its slow trek in the south. Sally crawled ashore near the Florida-Alabama line yesterday as a Category 2 hurricane with rain measured in feet. Sally cast boats onto land or sank them at the dock, peeled away roofs, and knocked out power to more than 540,000 homes and businesses. A military whistleblower, Army National Guard Major Adam DeMarco, says federal officials sought some unusual crowd control devices, including one that's been called a heat ray, to deal with protesters outside the White House as President Trump took a picture with the Bible. The device emits a beam of energy that feels like skin on fire. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets won along with the Nationals and Orioles. The Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Rockies 3-1. The Giants won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, we're seeing global stocks sell off after the Federal Reserve highlighted uncertainty about the economic rebound. Michael Youson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, joins us now for a deeper dive into the markets. Is the sell-off we're seeing related to the Fed's forecast, or do you think it's something else?
I think there's a little bit more to it, John. A week ago, when I was talking to you on this same program, I talked about momentum. But I also talked about risks facing the tech sector. Now, obviously, that headline yesterday that you guys reported with respect to Facebook, and the shares fell back sharply in the lead-up to the FOMC rate decision, and the fact that Facebook is facing an antitrust investigation, I think speaks to concerns about, I think, what a Biden-Harris administration might do with respect to regulating the tech sector. And their Build Back Better policy, if you drill into it, talks about stronger action on competition, antitrust enforcement, privacy policy, cybersecurity. So if you're an investor that's basically been piling into the tech sector, you're 6 weeks away from a presidential election where Biden and Harris could well hold the reins of the presidency for the next 4 years. Maybe you're getting a little bit nervous about holding your holdings in the tech sector, and you're going to sell off. Momentum is still positive, John. I think that's the important thing to say. Facebook, Apple, the NASDAQ, the S&P 500, they're all still above their 50-day moving average. So for me, I think that the momentum is still fairly positive, but there are signs of increasing nervousness as we head towards that election day. Now, obviously, if you then factor in the uncertainty over the economic outlook, that's nothing new. The Fed's not telling us anything we don't already know. So, you know, I think the Fed is a factor in the sell-off, but I don't think it's the primary reason for it.
Just a parenthetical. I mean, to be sure, it's the current administration's FTC that's initiating this action. Anyway, with respect to the Federal Reserve, how much of a plan, Michael, do they have other than low rates for longer?
They don't, and I think that was one of the key takeaways. I think the Fed is in a bind at the moment. We're so close to the presidential election. I think if they were to embark on a significant monetary policy action by announcing increased asset purchases and what have you, that might be construed as being political. And I think Mr. Powell really wants to stay clear of that. We might get a better idea in the aftermath of the election. The fact is, the next Fed meeting is straight after the election, so they might feel more emboldened then when we get a much better idea of what the US economy is doing, what the unemployment rate is doing as well. I mean, Mr. Powell said himself that there was significant uncertainty about the US unemployment rate, that actually it could be an awful lot higher than is currently the case. So this was a difficult meeting for the Fed. I think they've navigated it as best they can.
And your take on the retail sales. The United States is a consumer-driven economy. Retail sales yesterday, that was not a good report.
It wasn't, but also it wasn't altogether surprising. Yes, the jobs market does look fairly resilient if you take the jobless claims numbers, which we're due to get later today. But when you have a $600 a week stimulus roll off at the end of July, that's less disposable income, ultimately. And I think when you're leading up to an election, I think the impulse is, on the part of a consumer, is to hold back some of their disposable income in the event that the economy does take a turn as we head into the end of the year.
All right, Michael, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for your time this morning. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst, CMC Markets, this morning with a deeper dive into the markets. Where our futures right now, they are in the red. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. It is coming up to 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The National Labor Relations Board rejected a union-backed effort to reopen an unfair labor practices case against McDonald's. The case was settled in the company's favor late last year. An independent nursing home commission formed by President Trump is recommending that homes allow for safe in-person visitations, and the IRS has largely adopted a proposed version of rules on computing life insurance reserves, but the agency is open to input from the industry.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, here's another legal story we're watching. Elizabeth Holmes, the founder of Theranos, is exploring whether she can beat fraud charges by asking jurors to delve into her psychological state. Federal prosecutors allege Holmes and her boyfriend bilked investors out of hundreds of millions of dollars and deceived doctors and patients who trusted false claims that Theranos machines could perform myriad tests with a single drop of blood. For more on her possible defense, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Ann Coughlin, a professor at the University of Virginia Law School who specializes in feminist jurisprudence.
Her lawyers say they may tell jurors about a mental disease or defect or some other mental condition bearing on her guilt. Is that an insanity defense or not an insanity defense?
When a defendant invokes a mental health disorder, there's more than one way in which they might be using the claim. One highly visible claim is the insanity defense. But I don't think that's what her argument is here at all. I think she's arguing that she is going to use evidence of a mental disease or defect to negate her guilt on the wire fraud charges, and this is not a full-blown insanity claim.
So is it likely that she's going to try to use it to show that she did not have intent to commit wire fraud?
That would be one of her claims, but we really don't know what her story is going to be that supports the claim that she has a mental health disorder. But one way that she could use a mental health disorder is to support the so-called diminished capacity defense. And the idea would be that, yes, she did all these things. She committed all the conduct that the government alleges. But when she was doing those things, her purpose was not to defraud people, but was for some other reason, right? And then we're left to try to speculate what she's going to claim her purpose was. So in order for the government to prove these wire fraud charges, they have to prove not only that she lied, that she made, but that she did so for the purpose of defrauding people of their money. So one way to think about this is that she's going to argue, yes, I did these things. They were lies, but I wasn't doing it to defraud people. I was doing it for some other reason that's explained by the mental health disorder. You know, I was doing it because I had such a fragile ego. On the other hand, they may have a more coherent story. Right. They may have a strategy where they really are trying to have a clear through line that all of this bad activity originated with the boyfriend or originated in some psychological trauma that she suffered when she was a child, you know, that she actually believed that she could do this, sort of a deluded belief.
And that is Ann Coughlin, professor at the University of Virginia Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures are down 33 points this morning. Dow futures down 241. NASDAQ futures down 95. The 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 0.68%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.13%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.3% or 13 cents at $40.03 a barrel. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Top stories straight ahead.